Good morning, everybody. This is where we are. I got a call from James just now. He's like, everything okay? So I'm like, yeah, I'll see you now. I looked at my phone, and I'm like, oh, okay, no, it's 4:47. I should be fine. You know, it'll take me like 10 minutes, then hop in the car, and I should be there. And then I looked again, and you know, you stop and you go, that can't be right. I look at it, it's like 5:47. I'm like, oh, Jesus, the hell am I going to do? So I am here at home, but Simpiwe's in the studio. That's always good, right, Sims?
Yes. And as I said, you look like Father Christmas.
Yeah, thank you. The red and white. It's not the fact that I'm old or I have a beard.
I think that's the only thing missing, the beard.
No, it happens, you know. It's one of the hazards of like doing this job. And in winter, I don't know how you sleep through three alarms. I just managed to do it. It's great.
Yeah, terrific. Like the bed is so warm, and you're just like, I don't want to leave. And it's still dark. And you're like, yeah, I have all the time in the world. Can do.
Well, top don't say if you talk like that, I'll just go straight back to bed. I mean, it's like that kind of day, right? Anyway, it is Friday, and we are ready to look after you this morning. Loads of really cool stuff to show you. Shame, I saw yesterday in the news that old Donald Sutherland had died. A lot of people know him from Hunger Games. If there he is. If you're under 30 years old, that's probably the only place you'll know him from. But what an actor. I mean, he's been around a long time. He's the father of Kiefer Sutherland, who was the one who announced on I think it was on X on Twitter that his dad had died, 88 years old. Amazing guy. Sure. He was in the Dirty Dozen. He was in MASH. He was in the Hunger Games. And he'd been sick for a long time. But yeah, you know, it's just like one of those great actors. So I don't know. It's always shitty when you lose someone like that. You're like, ah, damn. There's so few really brilliant people with like this long CV of incredible stuff. So at least. You know, he was surrounded by family and friends. He had a great career. I think that's not such a bad way to go if you add it all up.
Yeah, he's lived a long life. So, hey.
Good innings. Speaking of good innings, I listened to a podcast the other day about this British soldier, a guy called Adrian Cotton de Wyatt. I've never heard a story like this in my life. This guy, he went into like, I don't know, 12, 15 different wars. He fought everybody. He was like the bravest guy ever. He lost an eye. He was shot down on a plane twice. He was on board two planes that crashed and survived both of those. This guy had the most incredible life. Maybe we'll talk a little bit more about him in some detail later on, because I read the story right after I'd heard a little bit about him in the podcast. Now I've got to read his whole biography. He wrote this incredible book, you know, and he was so like matter of fact about stuff. You know how we go, oh, you know, I didn't get my parking at the shops and now I'm traumatized. And this guy, they asked him about like World War I, and he said, yes, I really enjoyed the war. You're like, wow, what a guy.
What is he made of, like steel and iron?
I mean, he got like so many different medals and awards from all over the world. It's just the most incredible, brave, brilliant, amazing, courageous soldier. And I think I felt it was a weird thing. So I'm in awe of this guy. I literally read this and felt... there are no people like this anymore. It's just an incredible, incredible story. And then about half an hour after that, I was still thinking about him because of this story that I just read, I suddenly thought, wow, I'm such a loser by comparison. I've done nothing. I mean, you know, a year in his life, I can't even compete with that in 30, 40 years. So I just felt... afterwards, and I know it's stupid to turn it to you because that's what people do with everything, right? They always make it about themselves. But I genuinely don't think any of us, even the most adventurous person alive today, person with the most absolutely unbelievable, unparalleled experiences, I just don't think we can compete with somebody like that. And it's not a competition, thank goodness, otherwise we'd all lose. But you know, you read the story of somebody like this and you just feel, man, he squeezed every drop of life out. And we complain when, you know, we're stuck in traffic. It's like, it's so dumb. Our lives are so easy by comparison. It's unreal. Anyway, so I just thought about that and thought I'd share that with you. But there's so many good things to talk about this morning, too. I know we've got something you want to talk about is Vladimir Putin visiting North Korea. There were all these pictures. It's so funny.
I'm like completely in awe of this entire meeting, how it went down. So word on the street is that Putin is always late. So I guess African timing is not for Africans only.
Like Jacob Zuma is always late for his press conference.
But he's notoriously late. Like he was about 4 hours late for Germany, 3 hours late for Japan, 80 minutes late for the Pope. And guess who he's never been late for?
Kim
China.
Jong-un. Oh, yeah. So we were talking about Russia on Wednesday with Jack. We had Ramon pop in, and he's just been to Russia. He went to this bizarre little town in the far north of Russia, like far north and east. So really far away, not the sort of place anyone puts on their tourist map to go and see this nuclear-powered town with like 5,000 people in it. And what a bizarre story. Anyway, then he was in my memory banks as well, Vladimir Putin, because I know that, you know, on social media, he's been like driving around in cars with Kim Jong-un. There's like this meme that's come out of it too. And I saw Ben shared it yesterday and said, I think I can get back into Top Gear now.
Yeah, they have like a whole bromance going on. They had like a bro hug when he arrived, and he's pulled out all the stops, Mr. Kim. There was flowers. The entire army is basically their entourage. Like the who's, there's a lot going on. Like he's really not held anything back, but apparently they met for like a few hours. It was just the two of them. And they've signed some sort of like strategic strategy agreement. And now NATO is like, the world is, we need to look out and protect it. And security forces are at threat, blah, blah, blah. But I just thought it was interesting.
It's amazing. This whole kind of get together that's starting to happen between leaders outside of NATO. I mean, you know, really, if you look at what's going on, Piers Morgan had a guest on this week who explained how the US operates. Mm-hmm. And after listening to this guy for all of 4 or 5 minutes is how long the clip is. I shared it on, I think it was on X yesterday. I suddenly found myself going, yeah, I'd hate them as well. I would hate the US as well. I would dislike their policy as well. On not just Ukraine, but he goes through all the other stuff. Belgrade in Serbia. He goes through Afghanistan, Iraq. And then he talks a little bit about what happened in the Ukraine when the US essentially authorized regime change. And you think, you know what? Actually, if I were Putin, I'd also be making friends with anyone except the US at this point, because they have been shown to be bad faith actors over and over again. But you know our rule. For Friday, we try and stay away from politics.
Yes.
So we're not going to get into the politics of it, but there's plenty to talk about there. I like Silenificent says, the West rejects Russia, so Putin adopts African time. That's about right.
Putin is something else. One day I'd like to study him.
when you like to meet him, though, I mean, I think he's quite an intimidating guy to meet and there are not that many people in the world who I think I'd be afraid to sit and talk to, but he's one of them, right?
Yeah, like, what do you even say? Because he comes across as like, you can't even crack a joke and be like, hey, who is it? But, and then he's just going to look at you and be like, okay. And you're like,
you don't get the impression that you can just mess around and talk nonsense. Right? Let's talk. I feel like just having a braai with a couple of mates. I think I'll invite Vladimir Putin.
Yeah, it's going to be awkward. He's just going to stand there. I'm not even sure if he drinks beer. So
I don't think he drinks. He's one of those people. And I always find that super creepy. I don't know about you. Maybe because in South Africa, that's how we make friends. It's how we socialize. And obviously, there are people I know who don't drink at all. And I don't find them creepy now. But in the beginning, you're like, how am I going to connect with this person if they don't drink? I'm sure you've met people like that too. You're like, hi, how are you? I'm Simpiwe. And they're like, yeah, how's it? I don't drink. Really? That's the first thing you're going to say?
Yeah, they make it like their personality. And like sometimes they just be like vibe killers, you know? You're just like, guys, we're all going to have a drink, a shot. And then it's like, I don't drink. We're like, oh, okay. And then like the immediate question is like, why? Is there a reason? And they're like, no, I just don't drink. It's like, oh, all right, party pooper, bye.
So Louis says he drinks dragon blood, Putin. That's probably right. It reminds me of Stannis Baratheon, says Mapello from Game of Thrones. Oh, so the new Game of Thrones is out, and I watched the first episode of that yesterday. It's okay. I'm not the world's biggest Game of Thrones fan, but I think I could get into it. This first episode I was reminding myself, now who's who again? And I realized that Game of Thrones is one of those shows that you really have to, you almost have to follow it on your phone while you're watching it. And then while things are going on the screen, you're like, Google this person quick. Oh, okay. So that one's aunt, this one's mom. Yeah, because it's super complicated. And if you don't know who's doing what or where they fit into the family or whatever, it really does. Since it's been a few months, it takes you a while to catch on what's going on there. So I think I need to brush up. And if it feels like work, I'm sure you feel the same as me in this simple way. It's like, if it feels like too much work, you go, yeah, this better be really good for me to put in the amount of work I have to put in terms of research, because that's what it is, so that I get the story.
Yeah, so I haven't been peer pressured to watch Game of Thrones. Haven't watched a single episode, season. Not even the only thing I know that I always hear people talking about is winter is coming. I don't know if it's come. I don't know if it's gone. I know nothing about Game of Thrones. And I always feel like confused because everyone's like, have you watched the greatest series ever? Great of Thrones. And I'm like, nope.
I mean, you are a rare and special creature. It's like when I meet people who've never seen Star Wars. I'm always like, how did you manage to avoid this your whole adult life? And if you, in your case, have not seen a single episode of Game of Thrones, I'm like, I'm kind of in awe that you managed because it's been on for, what, the last 14 years or something? And you've never seen an episode?
Not a single one.
Sure.
And I plan to keep it that way. Because the more I hear about it, I've not heard a single negative review. People are always like, it's so amazing. It might take you one or two episodes to get into it. But everybody raves about this series. And I just feel like if I do watch it, I'll be the potty pooper and be like, it's not that bad.
Speaking about not that bad, so today is officially the middle of winter. I see Sugar Shabalala says, winter solstice has come. So that means that tonight is the official longest night in the year, and today is the shortest day in the year. So there we go. This is the middle of everything. So from here on, technically, we should be on the downhill slopes of winter, not on the uphills. Technically. I don't know if it's actually going to work or not. All right. So a couple of things. I wanted to look at this because I thought this was funny. And by the way, we've got amazing stuff happening today. Apart from Ben coming in to tell us what's up in the sport, we also have Warris joining us a little bit later on. Of course, the host of the Shady Podcast, and that is going to be loads of fun. He's going to join us at like 7:30 this morning, so we can just go through some stuff and talk about what he's been doing on his show. We've been working together now since March, so there's a lot of water under the bridge. There's plenty to talk about. And if you don't follow this guy online, he's busy. He is so busy on Twitter. It's ridiculous. So you're going to talk about all the stuff that he's been going crazy about on there. So it's almost like a little bit of a reaction video time with Warris after 7:30 this morning. So a couple of things. Apparently, Travis Scott was arrested in Miami on suspicion of disorderly intoxication and trespassing over an argument on a boat in the early hours of Thursday. I want to know, what other kind of intoxication is there except disorderly? I think, what a very specific definition. Toxic disorderliness. I'm trying to think when last I met someone who was drunk and not disorderly. Hey, are you planning to drink this week? Okay. So you're going to be disorderly. Yeah. This guy's like,
wow, I just might behave.
So here's what he actually did. He was detained by police at 1:45 local time in Miami Beach. They were called to reports of a disturbance on a yacht. This is how rich people, they don't do their disorderly intoxication on land. They like to do it on a boat. And they say he was exuding a strong smell of alcohol on his breath. And this is all in the same week that Justin Timberlake was avoided for driving under the influence. What does that mean? Bad, good?
It seems like maybe the cops are not happy with these celebs. And so any excuse, they just like, it's about time.
So apparently he was shouting at people on the vessel. They could smell the alcohol in his breath. According to a report, they told him to leave the dock, which he did, but he walked backwards, yelling obscenities at the occupants of the vessel. Scott then left the area but was seen by officers 5 minutes later returning and attempting to head back to the yacht, according to the report. When challenged, he disregarded officers' commands and became erratic, shouting and disturbing local residents, according to the police. Following his arrest, the report says the defendant later admitted he had been drinking alcohol and stated, "It's Miami. What do you want me to do?" I don't know that, you know, first of all, two things occur to me here. First of all, you don't want to mess with American police. Like if police in America say to you, "Get away from here, go away," you go away. Because they'll just shoot you. Mess around in America. That's number one. Number two, I just don't know how anyone expects a drunk person to be reasonable. Like to a drunk person, and I've seen this happen. I'm sure you have too, Simpiwe. When someone is really drunk, if they have a fight with somebody or they're angry with someone, that is all they can think about, right? So you could say to them, go home, it's over. This is not important anymore. No, they don't want to fight with that guy. They're like, no, they will not let go. They've got to have that issue is the most important issue in the world. And an angry drunk person is single-minded. They want to fight. That's all they're interested in doing. So there's no way you're going to persuade them not to. Am I right?
Yeah, and they tend to repeat themselves. So they have a very short memory. Like, you guys could have agreed that 10 minutes ago, you're leaving, and he's like, nope, I'm coming back. I'm going to the yards. I'm coming. And that's all on his mind, and he's going to say it 4 or 5 times. Yeah. It's just one of those where you're like, it's either you take him home and you remove him from the situation, or you just let him be and get his bum beaten, because sometimes people need a hiding. Yeah. That's it.
That's exactly. Okay. And then I see here, Gareth, they always say stop resisting. This is Slippery Pickle in the comments. They always say stop resisting before the US cops beat you like a dirty rug. That's about right.
Yeah. So, but he put himself in that situation. He'll be fine.
First of all, I don't think anything is that strange about his behavior. It's just because he's famous that we even know about this. But drunk people do this all the time. They start shouting and screaming. They get into arguments with other drunk people. That's all they can think about doing. They're not going to listen to the cops or anything else. So I'm just glad that they didn't shoot him or anything, because that could happen.
Yeah. And then it's a whole like Black Lives Matter,
God.
And then we're going to start having those chats. Yeah. Thank God.
Screw the cops. F the police. All that stuff would have come out of that. So, you know, and meanwhile, imagine that is your job, because I know police have real stuff to do, like actually get very, very dangerous. Imagine you are one of those policemen who's called up to go and deal with a drunk. You must think, ugh, is this it? This is what my life has amounted to. I have to go and argue with some drunk dude, because that is impossible.
Yeah, and how we tend to feel entitled as citizens. I've noticed it. I've seen it. Like, even with security guards or, like, ladies in retail, a lot of people tend to just be like, why can't I just get this done now? Or why can't I get that? And then it's just like, relax. They're just doing their job. They have to check. They have to do this. Like, you know what? You relax. Let them do what they have to do, so that their day can also continue. They're not trying to be a bitch to you. They're not trying to ruin your day. They're just doing their job.
Correct.
So,
I wouldn't want to argue with drunk people as a job every day and have to put up with their stupidity. Because they're just, I mean, listen, some people are dumb and irritating when they're sober, let alone drunk. So you can imagine what that's like. So, okay, let's take a look at this. Whatever you say on the internet, and this is interesting because it's turned into such a thing this week. Whatever you say on the internet will haunt you forever. So apparently, Ronaldo Jose, I don't know if we've ever had him as a guest on this show. I don't think we have. But I'm aware of him. He was like an MP. He's just been sworn as an MP. And that's all gone totally tits this week because they unearthed a video of him. I love how they say on the internet, like, this resurfaced or we unearthed this. Meanwhile, people have actually gone and found this stuff. They've dug it out from the depths of the internet. And the point is, this should scare you no matter who you are, because if you said something at like 15 years old and you were just being a dumb 15-year-old, by the way, I'm not making excuses for anybody. And you have to behave in 2024 as if you are a famous celebrity. By that, I don't mean you're important or anything else, but everything you say is public. Everything you do in front of your phone camera or with a microphone, or if you're on a phone call or if you're on WhatsApp or whatever, anything you say and do can haunt you forever. And believe me, there are going to be people who really despise you, who will use anything you say, whether it's in context, out of context, whether you are a shit, whether you're not a shit, whether you mean well or you mean malicious stuff. They will find you and you will not be let off. This stuff will follow you for the rest of your life. So if you make a dumb video about someone who you're at school with that you really despise, and you say some off-color remark about them, and you think, okay, well, that was when I was 15. Doesn't matter. No, it does matter, and it will follow you, right?
Yes, it will. People must look at it like this. Whatever you say on the internet can and will be used against you in the court of law, even if you're not a celebrity. And there's also new trends on social media, especially TikTok, where there's these dance challenges. Like, not too long ago, there was one where it was like, before I had a drinking problem, now I have a drinking problem. And people were posting videos like that. And a lot of HR people are coming out to say, hey, guys, don't participate in this trend, because if, like, future employers see this, they're not going to want to employ you. They're going to be like, this guy's irresponsible. So even if it does come to light, but it doesn't trend, it could still affect you negatively in terms of whatever you're doing with your life. So always be mindful. Whatever you post can and will be used against you at any point in time, even when you're 60 and you've forgotten about it.
Well, I do. I mean, there's a part of me that feels sorry for anybody who ends up being held to something that they did when they were 12, 15 years old, because I just don't think that's fair. I think that people grow up and they change. Having said that, though, you know, sometimes the stuff that you do online tells people what you really think in your own private world. And I'm not, again, I'm not referring to this particular case. I've seen all the noise on social media. I think this has got to do with politics, and it's got to do with, you know, making the DA look stupid more than anything else. I think that's the goal of so many people who've gone after. I don't think they really care that Ronaldo said something or used the K word or whatever. And the fact is that there is context to all of this, but most people couldn't be bothered. They just hear this, they get upset. And then when they get upset, then they move on. But in the wake of that, there are people who have to pick up the pieces. And I wonder how many people in the world today have missed out on a big job, who have been sidelined by their friends, who have been kind of ignored because of something that they said years ago on social media. You just got to be super, super aware of the fact that everything on the internet is forever. And I think it's like a warning to everybody, because the world does not forgive. I would love to live in a world where we could say, you know what? If someone says something when they're under 20 years old, yeah, that should just be deleted. Like, it should just be anything that anyone does or says on the internet under the age of 20, give them a second chance. Give them a moment of, you know, washing their sins away so they can start their adult life without any baggage. Because, you know, you get these teenagers also who self-harm. I mean, we had that psychologist in the other day. I think it was a Monday. And she was telling us, it wasn't Monday because that was a holiday. It was last week. And she was telling us about these really young girls at school who hurt themselves. They'll like cut themselves or whatever. This is here in South Africa. These teenage girls will kind of cut themselves. And whoever has the deepest cuts is like the most, you know, the coolest person at school there. And she said to one of them, Yeah, it's hectic. It's very scary. I mean, this just adds another layer of worry to parenting, right? And she was saying, she sat down with the one girl and explained to her, one day when you go to a job interview and they see these cuts on your wrist, they're not going to hire you. And she had never thought of that. This little girl was like, I hadn't even considered the possibility that kind of thing could happen to me, which is really, truly very, very upsetting. Because people don't. They make a video and you're sharing it with your friends. You're like, I'm going to just put this on my little TikTok account with like 40 people on it. Then you turn 25 one day and you're looking for a job. And someone says, oh, hell no, this is not going to work. This is very bad. Sorry, we're not going to be able to give you a job. We're not going to be able to take you seriously. We're going to ruin your career, whatever it might be. And again, I see a lot of people in the comments going into Ronaldo and that specific case. Again, I don't know. I can't speak on behalf of him or his character. I can't speak on behalf of the people who are attacking him online. I just think and Simpi was saying this too. I think that's right, Sims, is that this stuff will follow you wherever you go.
Yes. Whatever you say, just be mindful of what you post. And even just commenting on certain things will come and bite you in your left butt cheek one day, someday, because people also are getting sued for like reposting, retweeting, like revenge porn or something like that. So just because you thought no one saw that, or you can hide away from an unknown user 28, those days are gone. They'll find who you are and then you're in trouble. That's all I'm saying. Be mindful.
Yeah. Well, there we go. That's the world we live in.
Yes,
hello,
you
Ben.
Too.
Is Ben here?
Yes, Ben is here.
Been here for 10 minutes, Gareth. I said I'm going to be somewhere.
Yeah. Look at you all dressed smartly this morning. Were you going for a job interview or something?
Smart, yeah. I wear a golf jersey.
Well, listen, for you, that's you know, golf smart is smart. How are you?
No, I realized, sorry, I got a bit of a delay here. I realized that I actually have so much green clothing. So when I get dressed in the morning to come to the show, it's like, oh, come with that. There's green in that. There's a touch of green in that.
I know, it's very irritating. I had to go through my cupboard because we use this green screen just to explain to everybody who's watching the show. So if you wear green on the screen, you literally disappear. So it looks like you know, you're floating. You're a floating head. So if you wear a green top, and I think a lot of people will be wearing green for the Springboks this weekend. Yeah. Obviously, you wear your master's jacket, Ben.
Often.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Those kinds of things. You can't wear those in the studio because if you do, you'll just melt into the background.
We should have like a hat show one day. We just wear hats, but we wear green morph suits.
No. <That's all. laughs>
Some people, there'd be worse things said in the studio.
Speaking of which, Simpiwe has something to show us about a pair of undies that she reckons that...
Yes! Okay, wait. Right. I have a question for the both of y'all, right? Okay. So the question is, would you wear these undies?
Well, let's have a look.
And there's four of them. So you get to say yes, no, pick your flavor. But I think these are cool.
Someone's going to dig us up in 10 years and incriminate me with my answer.
Yeah. Up Shit Creek without a paddle. All right, let's have a look.
I think you'd like one or two. Ben?
Let's go for it.
Let's have a look. Come on, James. There we go. It's not on a top.
Yeah, it's smart.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, it's the Cremora brand. You know? Would you rock this?
Totally.
Oh, okay, yeah. Ben.
No. Okay.
Oh, knickknacks. Look at that.
But it's Nick. Snarks at your age, it says.
That's funny, but I don't want cheese around my groin area.
I agree. These are like jokey, and most people, by the time you are getting down to your underpants with someone, especially if it's someone you don't know so well, you don't want to be the object of derision and laughing. You want to be the object of this is exciting and sexy. So I don't know if I'd want to wear them, but yes, I like the sentiment that you should be laughing at these things. Is it just those two, or are there more?
No, there's four.
There should be another two.
Yeah, I'd go with those.
Self-raising.
Oh, okay, very good.
I like the pun on that one.
Raw meat inside. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, love the sentiments. The marbling's a bit much for me on the legs.
Oh. So you'd only buy like one of those.
All right, Sims, tell the truth. If you're with a guy and he's wearing those, any one of those four, and of course it's meant to make you laugh, it's designed to make you laugh, but is that not going to spoil the whole reason that you're getting down to underwear anyway?
Let's just say don't wear those when it's time to get a bit hot and steamy. But also, if you like my partner and I see you just rocking those like Njeh because it's a Wednesday, I would think that's cool. Like, I think you like, oh, okay, you have a bit of character because no one would see them and no one knows that that's you, you know, but not for like when it's time for, yeah.
Nah, look, that's what you say now, 7 o'clock Friday morning. But if you're confident in anything in life, you can rock that. Seriously, if you've got a decent enough body, You've done enough. You can have an elephant trunk rolling out in cloth and somebody will find it interesting.
All right.
I'll still happen.
Yeah.
I like Jason's comment here. He says, well, if you're getting laid, the chick will probably laugh or leave. So Simpiwe is right, but then what is the right occasion to wear these? I mean, nobody has a like, okay, guys, it's comic underwear night tonight. Everybody wear your hilarious, knickknacks, nick snarks, underwear, and let's all walk around in that. I don't think there's going to be an occasion for that. So again,
no, it's a cool gift. You know, yeah. You feel funny giving the gift. People will laugh receiving the gift, whether they wear it, and secondary.
Fair enough. All right. So, Ben, give us some sport this morning. Let's get into a couple of things that are happening this weekend. Beyond the Scoreboard, Ben Karpinski is with us, and let us check out what is on the agenda powered by Superbets.
Well, if it's sport you want, it's sport I got. Jeepers, there is so
Ben's
much this weekend.
Ben's face just lit up.
This it's is a like good his weekend favorite for topic, sports.
And he's just like, yes, that's the only reason why I come to studio.
Well, it's that and underwear fashion tips, obviously. So we got to start with the rugby. I feel terrible last week. I didn't back the Bulls. And, you know, there was merit behind it. Leinster are really good. Munster, the other Irish team, really good. I thought it would be an All-Ireland final. Mm-hmm. So much so that those arrogant sons of bitches in Munster, they had a billboard on the Saturday saying Bulls versus Munster. They were still playing Glasgow. Then they lost to Glasgow, and now they're not even in the final.
Wow.
I love stuff like that.
I had an argument. I backed you last week, and somebody said to me, yeah, the Bulls are going to win. And I said to him, no, they're not. Ben on the show this morning, yesterday morning, said to me, no, they're definitely not. And this guy was like, he was horrified because he's a Pretoria guy through and through. So he was right. And it's seldom that you call it wrong. But what are your calls for this weekend's game?
Well, the thing is, I try to base all this on stats and a bit of understanding of watching games. Your mate, who you speak to, he's got one stat. The Buller number one. That's his stat. And it's the same stat every season. Doesn't change. Yeah, exactly. But what I will tell you about this game is that people are obviously calling the Bulls are going to be the big favorites. Okay. And I understand why. Home ground advantage, there's travel, all these kind of things. But Glasgow are actually a really bloody good team. And one of the really odd things about what makes them great is that they kick the least. So in rugby, you actually don't win the game with the ball. The Springbok show this time and time again. Then the All Blacks did a lot as well. When you kick the ball, you have more chance of winning. There's a lot more to go into than that, but I'll leave it at that. So Glasgow have the least amount of kicks, the most amount of running, ball in play, everything. They're a frenetic bunch of winners. So they've also got incredible tackle efficiency. So they just don't miss tackles. The Bulls, though, are like 12th, 13th on the log. They do slip some tackles, but they're the best of dominant tackles. So you got two teams that are the most two attacking teams in the whole URC. And that's what makes this final so great. Glasgow, though, on the high felt, I don't know if their strategy really works. Mm-hmm. When they were down here last, they lost to the Bulls, bit of a flattering result, and they lost to the Lions. So all this ball in play, not kicking, is tiring. They've just played in Ireland. They've now got to fly back to SA. It's going to be a bit haggard on their system. So I would say this game's going to be closer than people think, but the Bulls are still going to win by 6.
Okay.
Okay.
Gareth, does that make sense? Can you now tell your mate?
Well, Ben,
your mate?
I think you're coming to Pretoria to watch the match, right?
Damn right. I'm going to be there, but I'm going to be there early as well because at 3 p.m., the Springboks are playing Wales. And oh my gosh, at Loftus in the beer tents, the general field area. It's going to be full from 3 watching the Springboks. Bryce Smoke, bad choices, booze.
You can tell this mate of mine. You can tell this mate of mine and all the other Pretoria guys who are exactly the same as him. You can tell him all of this that you've just said to me now. And then I don't have to get involved at all. Then he can still go, yeah, but you were wrong, eh?
Yeah. No, it's fine. And another thing about the guys like that, when the Bulls number one, when they do lose, the refs puss. That's the other follow-up phrase. Yeah. So, yeah, look, I'm not going to go too much into the Bok test because it's the first one of the season. It's a bloody strong side that Rusty has announced here. Wales, they did very badly in the Six Nations. Mm-hmm. In the World Cup, they just beat a pretty useless Australia. So, again, not much to draw into that team. But the whole thing is, this is the run out before we play the Irish. And it's an exciting team. Their backline looks hugely dynamic. We've got Hendrikse and Edwill van der Merwe. Those are the two debutants from the Lions. Otherwise, we've got tried and tested players. And there's some exciting players coming off the bench as well. We've got to get into the Euros. Because the Euros right now are the biggest thing in football. And of course, football's the biggest sport in the world. So I have to respect this.
Yes.
Now, England, they obviously go into the tournament with so much hype, but they deliver so little. Like, they could wear none of those sexy underpants from earlier, because you know they're not going to deliver. They're not going to rise the occasion. Nooks the snarks with England. And they showed it last night, you know. They score early. They then just go into their shell. Denmark come back. And if you're a plucky enough team, you can draw with these Oaks or win. And that's the thing. That is the thing about them. And all their fans are very self-deprecating. They've gone through this before many, many times. And it's no surprise. Thankfully, though, there's a game after that that was much better. Spain versus Italy. Those two teams are good teams, and Spain were even better on the night. Although it was an own goal by Italy, 1-0, they won that. So for this weekend, we've got Poland versus Austria. That's tonight at 6. Netherlands versus France, 9 o'clock. That's a big one. Kylian Mbappe broke his nose, but he's probably going to wear one of those funny mask things. Mm-hmm. You should
the
be
one that covers them completely almost.
Yeah. It's not a good look, but you got to do it. And then Saturday, we've got Turkey versus Portugal at 6, Belgium versus Romania at 9, and then Sunday, Germany versus Switzerland at 9. Those are the pick of your best matches for the weekend. And I really think, like, Spain are looking so good. Germany are looking so good. Portugal, I think, are dark horses. France, yeah, maybe just below that. And then England and Belgium don't even look into them. I just don't think they got the BMT. They just don't. So there is a lot of cricket on the go at the moment as well. The Proteas beat USA. Yeah, Sabir, you probably think, shouldn't they?
Well, I also know the Proteas have a tendency of kind of leading us on and then like jiggy-jiggy. Quack, quack, quack.
Yeah. Yeah. A win is a win. But the funny thing was that, like, they obviously were going to beat Australia, USA, and they were doing so well against them. And then the South African Oak, Hoss, scores like 70. He used to play in the Free States. He was a top player. He took the game relatively close. So big wins, or strong wins, for SA, England, and India in the Super 8 phase of this. Okay, so now Super 8s mean that there's two groups of four, and the two top teams from that go into a semi. Mm-hmm. So we've got USA, England, and the West Indies. And we play England today at 4:30. Hmm. Now, England love playing the West Indies, defending champs. These guys are good. In T20, they're good. They've got good players. So that's going to be a very, very difficult match. And they've just hammered the West Indies, who are the home favorites. So that'll be at 4:30 today. Yeah. So there's also a bit of cricket on the women's front. Mm-hmm. The Frotias, they're in India at the moment. Oh, they lost the first...
They actually call them the Frotias?
Well, I like to call them the Frotias because otherwise they're just known as Proteas women. Proteas women? Proteas way better.
Pants with Frotias written on it. That's great.
Yeah. See, now there's a female line in the underwear. Frotias because she's offering a flower. Yeah, see. It's a whole line of merch you're looking into here.
It's amazing.
All right, so the Frotias, they almost made history by like chasing down this ridiculously high score in the second ODI against Indian women, but then it came up short. Sunday, the third ODI, they're already down in two of those. They then play one test, and then they play three T20s. So it is, I mean, if you're a general cricket fan, you look at this and go, ah, oh, disappointing. But you know, the more that these women tour, the more they get entrenched in what it means to play the big games, play in the different conditions, play against the best players. And, you know, it's how long have they been touring for? Not very long. The Proteas, since 92, they've been touring solid, okay? So I think, you know, this next generation coming through for the Proteas are going to be very strong. These heartbreaking losses like this week, they're really going to stand them in good stead for the bigger things. Still in women's sport, Gareth, because I know you want more of that.
Yeah, of
it's
course.
It's the KPMG Women's PGM Champions.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what have we got for
one of the majors?
The PGA Championship for women's is. And what are we watching?
So, yeah, so the women's is, they have the four majors just like the men's is. Mm-hmm. And Lexi Thompson currently on top there. Nelly Korda, one behind. And then we've got a whole bunch of women whose names are very difficult to pronounce. Yeah. So that's like women's golf right now. See, like I like watching women's golf, because I like watching sport where people do things that I can't. And these women are very disciplined. They're very accurate with their shots. So you got that to look forward to. But it's actually a bloody good weekend of golf all around. So on the PGA Tour, they've got the Travelers Championships. That doesn't mean there's just caravans everywhere. and people trying to buy moody furniture and old goods. It is a proper event on the USPGA Tour. And what's really great about this is that it's at the TPC River Highlands. So it's beautiful. Tom Kim thinks so too. -8. He's leading that one. Also, another really cool event to watch is the KLM Open in the Netherlands. That's where the DP World Tour is right now. So Mikko Kohonen, he had a great round. So did Matteo Manassero. And on the Challenge Tour, Rupert Kaminski from South Africa, he is 6-under at the Open de Bretagne. Bretagne. He's playing in France.
The what? Bretagne. Brittany.
No, it's not Bretagne. It's Bretagne.
Yeah.
There's G's and N's and all kinds of things. Anyway, it's a really big part of golf because July 18th, Open Championship. So that's the final major of the year. Yeah, and then we're going to wrap it up with, we could talk about UFC, but we'll talk about that next week. But UFC 303 is basically done because Conor McGregor fell out with a stupid injury. And Dana White, to his credit, he scurried around to try to save the card, but it's not looking very good. But the Spanish Formula One, this could be the most exciting Formula One of the year so far. 10th race of the season, right? So we're in a really great part of the season to have something that's quite critical. Red Bull haven't pulled away as expected. Ferrari are still there, thereabout. McLaren are pretty solid. And Mercedes, they are going to talk a big game. And they do have quite a fast car at the moment. Now, everyone knows the circuit really well because they all test here. It's always on the circuits. It's a real favorite that all the drivers go to. But it looks like the weather is going to be rainy again. It's one way to nullify the competition. And I think it gives plays into Red Bull's and McLaren's hands. Mercedes probably has the quickest car in the dry at the moment. So once it rains, you'll get even more tears out of Lewis Hamilton and George Russell. Okay, got to finish off with all the information. Let's have a little tantalizing multiplier here. So when I speak about the Euros being the biggest thing, So there's so many games every single weekend. That's what's so cool about it. So you turn your TV on after 3-ish, there's a good chance you've got a Euros game on. Mm-hmm. So go to Superbets, go onto the Euros tab. You can't miss it. They've got this little tab on the left-hand side. You don't have to look for anything. Click on the badge. You get all the games, all the markets. And I reckon for this weekend, go for Austria win, France win, mm-hmm. Portugal win, and Romania win. That's too outlandish, huh? We're not taking too many chances. That will give you odds of 8.83. So you're 100 down. You're going to get just under $900. I think that's a good bet. I don't think you need to know too much about football. And at the same time, it's got four games that are going to keep you in the mix.
Okay.
Love it. All right. And remember, if you're going to be gambling, that Superbets supports responsible gambling. Strictly now under 18s, winners know when to stop. The South African Responsible Gambling Foundation's toll-free counseling hotline number is 0800 006-008. And you can catch On the Bounce with Ben and Sandile every Thursday at 4:00 for more sports updates. How's the show going 2 weeks in, Ben?
Yeah, correct, Gareth. So if you go onto YouTube at 4:00 every Thursday, there's the show, but bang. Or go onto your favorite podcast platform. The show is good. Sandile is a really good co-host. The conversations are really fun. So much so that you've got to be conscious of time. Otherwise, it's a 3-hour show and no one's got time for that.
Who has time? No, exactly.
No one.
Except when you're trying to pronounce Bretagne and it looks like you're having a stroke. Everything else is just going swimming.
Bretagne.
So I got to bring this up, but we don't have time in this hour, and we'll get into it in the next half hour, because this is just something that's been, it keeps coming up. Is this Madeleine McCann, right?
Yeah.
We got to talk about Madeleine McCann. Her parents are still going around saying, oh, it's so terrible what happened. Someone stole her from our room in Portugal. It's now 40 years ago or whatever. I mean, if Madeleine McCann's around, she's got a walking stick now. But there are still theories coming out. I watched a clip yesterday of some policeman from Scotland Yard saying what he thinks happened. And we have to get into this. Either she's the world's greatest hide-and-seek champion, or it's time for us to accept that this is way simpler than anybody's tried to make it seem. And, the people are coming out saying, well, it's always been the parents. We've got to just accept that. We'll talk about it in a short while because, it's not too soon to start telling Madeleine McCann jokes, right? It's been a long time now. Got to move on. And we've got plenty of other good stuff coming for you, especially when you ask Ben about ChatGPT. And he asked ChatGPT what he should talk about on the show this morning. We'll find out what the results of that were.
Yeah.
And more. So stick around. We've got a lot of very, very cool stuff coming. This is The Real Network and The Gareth Cliff Show on a Friday morning, the shortest day and the longest night of the year. It's winter solstice. We'll see you in just a little bit.